Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce the four diverse and exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back Wendy Richard, Peter Jones, Derek Nomo, and Clement Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits our producer's charming secretary, Anne Ling, with a stopwatch, a sheet of paper, and also a whistle which she blows when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four competitors of this game to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Clement Freud, would you begin the first round? The subject chosen is telepathy. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Telepathy is communication without words. The other day I was driving along to Suffolk, switched on my car radio, and heard, "Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, and the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word."
And Wendy Richard is challenged.
I knew you were going to say that. You're just using one of your ploys, your listing agent, aren't you, Clement?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, Wendy, that was your telepathy, because you knew he was going to say that. That's why the audience laughed, I think.
I know.
Is this going to be one of your difficult days?
It could well be.
It could be. Clement, 42 seconds on telepathy, starting now.
And the sky is not cloudy or grey. The extraordinary...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Long pause after that.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Peter. Yes. You have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. And you have 36 seconds to talk on telepathy, starting now.
Well, it's marginally less reliable than British Telecom.
And your statement, you waited for the laugh, didn't you? And it didn't come. They're all members of British Telecom in the audience.
No, that's
the
trouble. Really?
Derek, you challenged.
I hesitate.
I agree with it. 30 seconds for you, Derek, on telepathy.
I've been married to my wife now for some 35 years, and we're in constant telepathic communication one with another. I rang her up the other day from Manchester and said, "What are you thinking about, darling?" She said, "Mushy peas." And I said, I was actually, at that very moment, in my head, was going through my mind exactly the same kind of vegetable.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of mind.
Yes, you repeated the mind. You're trying to get away from the mushy peas, but you repeated the mind. 11 seconds are left for you, Clement, on telepathy, starting now.
I can look at my wife and know that she's going to say, "Surely you can wear that shirt for one more day." And it really isn't a question of telepathy. It is simply that we've been together now for...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle is blown gains an extra point. It was Clement Freud who started with the subject. And Wendy, would you take the next round? The subject is taking risks. I think anybody takes a risk coming on this show. But would you talk on the subject starting now?
Actually, you're right. We do take risks coming on this show because I seem to get bibbed constantly by the gentlemen on my left, all of them. And it is taking a risk every time I open my mouth, because I can see they're just hanging on their buttons waiting to put me out of action for a while, except they're not, because I've just looked along and they're going to try and make me go the whole 60 seconds. Do you see what I have to put up with? It is extremely mean. And they are all taking another risk by being so unkind. But I shall undoubtedly carry on as best I can. Coming here in my taxi this evening, I thought I was taking a risk in getting through all the traffic, which is holding up all the streets around this West One area. As I live in West One, I'm actually not too far away from the Paris Theatre where we are sat at this very moment, but it seemed like an absolute nightmare getting here. I also take risks every day when I go to work. Have you seen some of the drivers down the A1? It's quite incredible. I don't actually know how to move a motor car about myself, as no doubt if you listen to this programme.
Well, Wendy, they were playing you at your own game. You tried to arouse them, and they did, but they were... And I let you keep going for 1 minute and 15 seconds because I thought... I thought you deserved it, and the audience appreciated. So you not only get a point for speaking when the whistle went, but you also get a bonus point for not being interrupted. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. The subject is baudelarising. Will you talk about that subject in this game, if you can pronounce it, of course, starting now?
Well, Thomas Baudelaire is one of those people whose name has gone into the language for baudelarising, rather like Sigmund Freud has passed into the language with Freudian, and indeed Dr. Spooner...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of Freud.
No, he did Freudian.
No, Freudian.
Sigmund Freud.
And Freudian.
Freudian.
Ah, Freudian.
Yeah, I know, he was always speaking into his
hand. I thought you would have known the word.
Difficult to hear.
Just a Freudian slip.
No, 49 seconds are left with you, Derek, on baudelarising starting now.
Well, he was the man, of course, who cleaned up Shakespeare, the family edition, it was called. He took out all the rude bits, all things that one quite likes, really. For instance, bottom had to be called posterior in Midsummer Night's Dream, so the children, when reading, would not be offended by thinking it was a bum. They were able to go to sleep peacefully at night. I think it's a great pity he didn't do the...
Clement Freud, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, correct. 21 seconds left on baudelarising starting now.
He was the Mrs. Whitehouse of his day, and it was extraordinarily stupid, I think, to look at the great verse and literature of this country and excise or eviscerate from it all those words and phrases which people were really rather fond of, which were descriptive and meaningful and incidentally filthy. And thanks.
So, Clement Freud kept going until the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is dives. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, I haven't been to very many. I suppose this is really a dive because it's three floors down from street level, and there aren't any drinks or drugs or anything very reputable going on here.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Hesitation.
Right, 48 seconds are left on dives with you, Derek, starting now.
One of my favourite dives is the Go Down in Hong Kong. It's in Admiralty, and there it is run by the very nice fellow called Bill Nash, who dispenses champagne free of charge to all his chums. And I have a little brass plaque, and it says, Derek Nimmo sits here when in the colony, which I'm always rather touched by. Now, if you take a dive in boxing, that means that you're actually going to the ground and pretending that you have been hit harder.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A deviation.
Why?
Well, I don't believe he has this brass plate with Derek Nimmo's name on it, and he sits there when he's there, which can't be a large proportion of the time.
No.
And this man is too shrewd
a businessman. Our show does go out to Hong Kong, and I know it's very popular over there, if anybody listening this moment can tell us that, or write to us and tell us that Derek Nimmo does not have one, then he will be thoroughly penalised in the next series of Just a Minute.
They've only got 7 years.
I'm sure they can reply under 7 years. And Derek, we give you the benefit of the doubt and dive to continue. 24 seconds, starting now.
I've never been very good at diving. Going to the top of the high diving board, and I've said diving twice, and it's not on the card.
Clement Freud challenged.
Said it three times now.
And sometimes if you keep going with enough style and panache, they don't pick it up. But you gave yourself away, Derek, very sportingly. 17 seconds for Clement to tell us about dives, starting now.
The odd thing about dives in the United States of America is they all look as if prohibition was still on. They are seedy and dark and unpleasant, and people who serve there are hoodlum-like in their behaviour. Gin, whiskey, rum, brandy, and...
Clement Freud was again speaking as the whistle went. Gained an extra point, increased his lead. Derek Nimmo's in second place, and then comes Wendy, Richard and Peter Jones in that order. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, Phineas Taylor Barnum, a wonderful character.
Barnum was a great circus man who, oddly enough, didn't start in trade on his own until he was 61 years old. The most famous, to me, and wonderful Barnum story is of the day that he was told of the death of the man who was fired from the circus on the sawdust under the tent where he operated. And he said, "The death of this man is grave news. It will be hard to find a man of the same caliber."
And Wendy got the challenge in before you finished the story. What was it, Wendy?
I'm sorry for interrupting your story, but you said death twice.
I would have said it again.
You needed to for the story, but well done, Wendy. I waited till you finished the story. You got in on a correct repetition, and Phineas Taylor Barnum is the subject starting now.
There was a famous musical and a very successful one called Barnum, which was on at the Palladium, in which Michael Crawford starred. And in fact, he did extremely well. This young man is a very talented actor and singer. I have seen him in Phantom of the Opera. I believe also he went...
And Peter Jones are challenged.
Well, she's doing a PR job for Michael Crawford. That's right. Not Barnum.
That's right. She has deviated from the subject of Barnum and gone on to...
I was going to go back to Barnum. I hadn't got to New York yet.
You really established the PR job for Michael Crawford, who doesn't really need it anyway. 15 seconds with you, Peter, on Phineas Taylor Barnum, starting now.
He couldn't get people to leave the exhibition.
Derry got it.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation. Right, Derry. 12 seconds on Phineas Taylor Barnum starting now.
Eventually, Phineas Taylor Barnum went into partnership with his great rival, Bailing, and it was they that invented the three-ring...
Peter Jones was challenged.
Some kind of hesitation.
It's been some kind of hesitation.
Well, he was making a noise. There wasn't actual silence, but it was a hesitation in the flow of the anecdote, if I can put it as high as that.
But your challenge is that coherent speech was not coming out.
Yes, what a wonderful phrase. Yes, well done.
I actually did almost catch what he said.
You what?
See why they call me a straight man, can't you? There we are. Yes, I did just catch what he said, Peter. So it was
how
a good
long
try.
Have I got?
If Derek was generous, he would give it to you because you
no,
are
he's
training
not.
Little. He's not generous, right? No. Derek, you have 5 seconds to continue on the subject, starting now.
He discovered the Swedish nightingale, Phineas Taylor Barnum, Jenny Lind, and he had wonderful porcelain models made of them. He called them pearls.
So Derek Nimmo has got points in that round. He's caught up with Clement Freud. They're both equal in the lead. Wendy Richard, your turn to begin. The subject is magpies, starting now.
I'm very superstitious about magpies, because as you know, if you see a magpie on its own, you have to say, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie, and how is Mrs. Magpie today?" Otherwise, you're going to have bad luck. And the saying goes, "One for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl and four for a boy. 5 for a letter and it's 6 for something else. I forget what it is now. But so on and so on."
It's an impossible game, isn't it? Clement Freud, you got in first?
Yes.
It would be you, wouldn't it?
Clement, you have 35 seconds on magpies, starting now.
A magpie is something on a target when you shoot, which is not a bull and isn't an outer either. I've never quite worked out how many points you get for it.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of isn't.
You are trying hard tonight, aren't you, Peter?
Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's absolutely right. We have usually sort of rather let these sort of little repetitions go, but on this occasion I have to be fair within the rules. It is a correct challenge. You have 25 seconds on magpies starting now.
When my wife and I moved into our present home, there wasn't a magpie in sight, nowhere near, and now we're overrun with them and with squirrels. And these birds, who are related to crows and, I think, to blue jays, if I'm not mistaken, but they're very unpleasant and they steal things from bedrooms and they bully.
Derek got in there first, yes. 5 seconds on magpies, Derek, starting now.
Corruption, really, of Margaret and Piebald, a magpie being...
So at the end of that round, Derek is now in the lead with just 1 point ahead of Clement Freud, and then come Wendy, Richard and Peter Jones, equal in third place. Derek, it's your turn to begin. Jokes. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I tend to get most of my jokes from the Times on a Thursday, from a column written by Sir Clement Freud. And he has jokes such as the dyslexic atheist who tried all his life to prove that a dog doesn't exist. And I always thought that was a very good joke. And also the one about the Scotsman who took part in a pornographic movie and was so mean he always ran it backwards to see the prostitute giving him the money. And I think those are other people who do have particularly good jokes are comedians like Terry Scott. Now, he has a different kind of jocular manner. And a joke of his, which I would like to give to you, is a man going into a kitchen, finding it absolutely filthy, and he sees the chef going round the tart with his false teeth. He said, "That's absolutely disgusting. You ought to have a tool for that." He said, "Yes, but I save that for the donuts." And those are jokes.
I think you were saved by the whistle, Derek. You have a point anyway for speaking when the whistle went and have increased your lead at the end of the round. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Madras, that is the subject. Can you tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
I think of curry, and I think of that material they weave there from cotton, because it's a very hot part of the world. And this material...
Derek, no more challenge.
Oh.
This material, yes. 40 seconds are left. Madras.
The very first settlement in India by the British East Indian Company was in Madras in 1640. It was called Fort St. George at the time. It is the centre of the Tamil population of the great subcontinent. And Peter's quite right. They do weave the most excellent cotton thread there. And that's why people from Madras have been sent to East Africa, Malaysia and so on, also to take part in the same trade. Madras, I find very hot. I like the curries enormously. Probably better than the...
And Clement got in.
Yes, it is.
There was an there. Yes, Clement, you have another point and 12 seconds to tell us something about Madras, starting now.
Madras is a contraction of Shrove Tuesday or Mardi Gras, as it is called in French. It's also a province of...
Eric Nimmer challenged.
Deviation. Total rubbish. The contraction of Shrove Tuesday. What are you talking about?
Madras is not a corruption of Mardi Gras. And anyway, maybe in your language or maybe in the column you write for the Times...
You know so much, Nick.
No, I don't. But I do have to make decisions and be seen to be fair to everybody taking part in the show. And I think on this occasion I would agree with Derek's challenge and say he has 5 seconds to take over back Madras, starting now.
There was a young lady from Madras who set herself down on her bottom. Dr. Bowdler said that's how it should be pronounced because he didn't like the new person to go out.
You've increased your lead at the end of that round. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is puns. 60 seconds as usual, starting now. Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so. Once Clement Freud was absolutely speechless. It's never been known to happen in just a minute before. 59 seconds for you on puns, Peter, starting now.
Puns is the initials...
Clement as Freud has got it back. Puns
repetition
is with you, Clement. 56 seconds starting now. Peter Jones. You've challenged again. Another hesitation. Well done. You've got the subject back again. 55 seconds on puns starting now.
Philip Unwin and Nigel Street. Two very nice chaps who preceded Gilbert and George in the artistic world. And they were very similar. They walked about arm together and they lived in Putney.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Lived in Putney.
Yes.
Lived in Putney.
Yes, well, that's what you should have said, right? That's what you should have said. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
You erred before you got to Putney. Oh, I know other people have done the same thing as they've approached Putney. In this game, you can't say it. 39 seconds for you, Derek, to tell us something about puns starting now.
The leader of the opposition, Mr. Neil Kinnock, is much given to puns. They're not frightfully funny, but he seems terribly keen on them. For instance, he said the other day, he said, Michael Hesseltine.
Clement Freud.
Two SIDS.
Clement has a correct challenge. 28 seconds for you, puns, Clement, starting now.
On the whole, people get extraordinarily tired of people who make puns about their name, and I've said people twice.
And Peter Jones picked it up first.
Well,
likely.
He did, yes.
Look, well done, Peter. 23 seconds.
That's
for
not
you.
Too short a word, I mean, is it? People.
No.
People,
no. The bitterness is showing, Peter. Oh, dear me, they'll try any ploy, won't they, to get one over on me. 23 seconds. Puns with you, Peter, starting now.
They lived in this South London terrace house next to a poet, and they used to pose for photographs a lot. And there are one or two still available in sepia, I've seen.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
I really can't see what this has got to do with puns. He's peasing.
Philip Unwin and Norman Street. These two young men that I. Well, I don't
care. I don't
want to
know about
well.
You and these two young men.
I think Peter's demonstrated he doesn't know what it's got to do with puns either.
P-U-N-S.
There are 12 seconds for you, Derek, on puns starting.
Michael Hesseltine was unstable. And the only thing you can say about Douglas Hurd is he is stable. And then as far as Mr. the Prime Minister is...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Hesitation.
It's hesitation and repetition. And for those abroad who don't know, he was trying to impersonate the Leader of the Opposition, Neil Kinnock. Not very successfully, I would add, but... 3 seconds for you on puns, starting now.
I'm pretty sick of Freud, eggs and bacon. Also...
Clement Freud, then speaking as the whistle went, got that extra point, has moved forward. He's still in second place, two behind Derek Nimmo. Wendy, your turn to begin, and the subject is stamps. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
When I was a child, I used to collect stamps, and some stamps have the most beautiful illustrations on them. In fact, I have seen stamps with pictures of cockatiels that look just like little Henry on them. I still collect stamps now, because if you tear off any used stamp, it doesn't matter.
Peter Jones's challenge.
Well, she did say collect twice.
Did I?
Yes, you did. Why do you say it in that sort of way, as if you weren't confident of your challenge?
Well, you know me, I'm so insecure, and I think it's terribly embarrassing. You should have brought that up, Nicholas, really. Okay. I think you could have just glossed over that, for goodness right. sake. I don't want to parade all my insecurity all over the world.
You've made a good living out of it, Peter. 43 seconds on stamps with you, Peter, starting now.
Wonderful things to collect, because they don't take up much room, and you can actually fill a whole house with stamps and still have a lot of space left. Now, if you, on the other hand, try to assemble a lot of traction engines or farm utensils, then soon there isn't any space left.
Wendy has challenged.
I think we have space twice,
no,
do we not?
Roman space.
No, you could have had him for deviation, because he's now got on to other kind of collecting other than stamps, but I'm afraid you didn't. 24 seconds left. Peter, still with you. Stamps starting now.
I know a man who once advertised the picture of the Queen, which he said was an engraving, and asked people to send a pound. And in return, he would post them this. And he posted them a stamp. And made
and
quite a lot of money.
Nero, challenge.
Hesitation. You post them a stamp.
Yes, you know why I hesitate, because you repeated posted.
I know, I had to,
why.
Otherwise it wouldn't have made
going,
sense at all.
Peter.
I was host by my own petard.
Yeah. 9 seconds on stamps. Did you bring your private laughers in? Because there's some people laughing at only your jokes, you know.
Really? Well, I don't
know. 9 seconds, Derek. Stamps, starting now.
The British Guiana 1 cent magenta is the most expensive stamp ever sold. It, with Stanley Gibbons...
Wendy Richard Chan.
Had a hesitation
yes,
there,
I would agree,
we?
Wendy. That was a hesitation.
How can it be expensive if it's only 1 cent?
Right, 4 seconds on stamps with you, Wendy, starting now.
Collecting stamps is a good way of learning geography. Not only do you have the attractive design...
So, Wendy Richards, speaking as a whistle, gained that extra point, and she's leapt forward, and she's still in fourth place. not far behind Peter Jones, and little way behind Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo in that order. And Derek, your turn to begin, and let me tell you, this is the last round, and it's neck and neck between you and Clement. Derek, the subject is presence of mind. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
If you play just a minute, you have to have great presence of mind and able to talk about things like telepathy, taking risks, battle-rising, dives, Finland, Taylor, Barnum, magpies, jokes, Madras, also puns, stamps, and in particular, presence of mind. And that's what one tries to have. As one steals oneself coming into
Wendy
this...
Wendy Richard challenged you.
We've got about half a dozen ones, have we not?
No, we've had more than one ones. Yes, yes, indeed. Well done, Wendy. 42 seconds, you've overtaken Peter. And there are presence of minds with you starting now.
Presence of mind means knowing how to cope with a difficult situation. Some time ago, I was filming with the London Fire Brigade. The chaps of that wonderful order of gentlemen, I have a great...
Clement Freud challenge.
You?
Me.
I was going to say something fascinating then.
Clement, why did you challenge?
I'm sorry, I buzzed. There are women in the fire service as well.
Yes, I do.
Yes, but the story I was coming up with, there weren't any there. It was just me and all these handsome young men.
I would agree with Clement's challenge, so 28
You'll
seconds
never
for you,
know
Clement.
Oh.
Well, even if Clement wins this round, I don't think he'll win the show, so I'm sure the audience reaction means they'd like to hear from Wendy on the rest of this round for the rest of the show, if she can make it, because you have 28 seconds. You might still be challenged, of course, on presence of mind, Wendy, starting now.
He's taking my buzzer.
Clement challenged again.
Hesitation.
Hesitation.
Okay.
But as you press Wendy's buzzer, it meant she was buzzing herself for hesitation. So, Wendy, that was a correct challenge. You have another point. And you have 26 seconds on presence of mind starting now.
Who, me?
Yes.
Right. Anyway, we're at this fire station.
And challenge, you've been challenged again. What was it? No. Derek, yes.
Fire station, repetition of fire.
No, that's wrong. Derek. Wendy, incorrect challenge. Now, the presence of mind is still with you. Try to control yourself and give us presence of mind and go on talking for 21 seconds on the subject of presence of mind, starting now.
And the alarm bell went off and we all had to rush onto this fire engine and I couldn't get on it because I had these yellow waders on and this young person from the fire brigade didn't know how to get me on this fire engine and all of a sudden he just went wallop straight up my bottom, as Mr. Boulderizing would say, and I fell flat on my face on the vehicle.
Well, in spite of repeating fire engine and fire brigade and hesitating and deviating from the subject of presence of mind, Wendy kept going.
No, but he was showing presence of mind. He
you were showing presence
engine.
Of mind.
I would like to know, was the film released?
Anyway, the audience enjoyed it, which is all that matters in just a minute. And Wendy, they got an extra point, but speaking of, as a whistle went, and you have, at the end of the show now, leapt forward to join Peter Jones in third place, a little way behind Clement Freud, but we do have to declare a winner. So we say this week it is Derek Nimmo. It only remains for me to say thank you very much to our four excellent panellists for the contributions they make and the fun they provide, and also to thank Anne Ling, who's kept the score so magnificently without any deviations, hesitations or repetitions, and also, of course, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, who can't be with us, and our producer, Edward Taylor, who, thank goodness, is with us. From all of us here, goodbye.